is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The conflict over energy in Europe, the conflict over Ukraine in Europe. Right now, we're looking at three capitals, London, Washington, and Ottawa, and what is to be done. However, I welcome Conrad Black, who has a striking opinion of these three capitals in this time of crisis. Writing for the National Post, the sick man of Europe was a metaphor once used about the Ottoman Empire prior to the Great War. The sick men of the West. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Let us begin in London. Your most recent column explicates Prime Minister Liz Truss's errors with her Chancellor of the Exchequer and with the overwhelming Tory domination of the Parliament. You do not find fault with the initial impulse to grow the economy, prosperity, following Margaret Thatcher or following Ronald Reagan. You do find fault with the French witticism says it best, the iron weather vane. Where did Liz Truss go wrong? Good evening to you, Conrad.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, as you said, I think, and I think there's historical evidence for this, and President Reagan is a particularly strong part of that, that you can promote economic growth without worsening or abetting inflation. And that's, I think, the program she outlined. But the British, because, you know, it's a much smaller country than the United States. It's not a resource-rich country like the United States or Canada is. To them, these things are sort of a zero-sum game. So if you're going to cut taxes, you have to cut expenses, or you end up with burdensome deficits that can cause inflationary pressures. But they simply have never bought into the theory, even though Margaret Thatcher demonstrated it to be true, that if you cut taxes, you will make a lot of that back by the money left in the system being recycled in a way that generates other types of tax revenue. And it's more like a voluntary tax in that case. So the difficulties of collection are much less arduous and expensive than they are if it's just a high rate of income tax, largely from people who can afford sophisticated tax planning and avoidance measures. But she didn't explain what she was going to do and how she was going to manage this without producing an unsustainable deficit. And since she didn't have an argument at that point, she effectively left her goal open, and the other side scored in it. They said, well, you know, this is nonsense. She's going to cut taxes, and we're going to get absurd deficits, and the whole the solidity of the pound and all these other matters are going to go to pieces. And she had no answer to it. And as happens in the caucus of the Conservative Party of the United Kingdom from time to time, they all just piled on, as they did when they were frightened by Margaret Thatcher, even though she'd won three consecutive elections and had been completely successful. We discussed this in a previous program, where the British Conservative members of Parliament historically are very nervous and they have no loyalty. And so they're apt to do anything, and you have to manage them very carefully. And she did not do that. She took no trouble at all to get them on side, even though a large number of them had voted for her chief opponent.
You very carefully identified this trend when you wrote the column with Liz Truss ascending to the premiership after the departure of Boris Johnson, saying of the 14 conservative prime ministers since the Second War, all of them were pushed out either before an election or after an election by their own side. It wasn't Labour. Yeah. It wasn't the opposition challenging Liz Truss. It was the so-called backbenchers, the people who were supposed to be for her.
You're absolutely right. It's 14 party leaders. They weren't all prime minister, but you're absolutely right. The only ones that were actually defeated by the Labour Party were, let me see now, I mean, Labour being opposition, Edward Heath was, and John Major was, and William Hague was, and Michael Howard was. But the other 10, they were, as you said, they were defeated by their own MPs.
It's a puzzle. However, the puzzle gets more complicated because Liz Truss was premier because they pushed Boris Johnson out. And then when
That's
we last
right.
talked, Boris was leaving his beachside paradise, his well-reserved deserved rest in the Caribbean, flying home to see if he could reascend to the premiership, recruiting from the premiership, which is a reasonable thing to do if you think you have more to say. And besides, your exit was it's a mystery to me why he's no longer prime minister, but he's not.
Yeah, I agree. And to get the picture complete, he was there because the previous prime minister, Theresa May, was forced out by the MPs, including Boris, because she got it wrong on Brexit. She claimed that she was executing Brexit, and she wasn't. Her idea of leaving Europe was to stay within it and just claim they were leaving. And she got her position because the previous prime minister, Cameron, staked everything on Brexit being rejected in the referendum, and it was, in fact, supported. So there you have it. You had all of these, Cameron, May, Johnson, Truss, and Sunak, 7 years ago, all sitting together in Parliament in the Conservative benches. And so Sunak takes his place, and he knows that most of the people around and behind him in his parliamentary party supported other people in the job he now holds. And May and Johnson and Truss are still sitting there in Parliament.
Now we come to the policy that displays to me this isn't just about, the inside game in Parliament. It's about the international threat represented by Russia and China. It has to do with energy. Conrad, the most amazing thing, Liz Truss said immediately part of her program was to no longer ban fracking because Britain needs energy to grow. It needs energy to moderate or at least reduce the electricity charges that are now going on because of the Russian depredations of Europe. Europe needs energy. And yet, immediately, Rishi Sunak, when he comes in, announces that he's going to reimpose the ban. It was off for about, 5 days, and then he's reimposing the ban. This is a profound puzzle to me. These are the conservatives, Conrad, and they're playing to what? What is the green constituency? Is it Labour? Is it the Liberals? Who are they in Great Britain with those electricity prices?
I think they're the young people who don't really, for the most part, pay the electricity bills and have been led away by the Pied Piper that we must do it or the earth is coming to an end. People like the Prince of Wales, who I think he's got much more discreet now, but for years was claiming that we'd all be swimming for it if we didn't, travel in carpools and in fossil fuel use.
The Rishi Sunak certainly is a very well-educated man in the world. He knows
yes.
that the liquefied natural gas that is now flowing to Europe from the United States, that's a product of fracking. So it's almost as if they're treating the United States as some kind of colonial client where we get to send natural resources to Mother Britain and Mother Britain then keeps its hands clean.
Yeah, very stupidly. So that means that they have the cost of import when they could do it themselves and keep the money at home. I mean, you're right, but I don't know. See, I don't know that much about him, so I think we've got to wait and see how he explains things. But my fear on what the little we have seen is when he was chancellor, he raised taxes, and after a few days of as prime minister, he is, as you say, undone one of the good things that his predecessor did in the short time she was there. So it's not a great start. Unlike the new king, I think, is after a very good start. But, he's already on a second prime minister after 7 weeks.
We're following the sick men of Europe, so it's time to come to the second problem. And energy is the through line here. President Biden came to office with a moderate temperament. We knew that when he was elected. And yet, since then, he's done everything in policy that he can without the help of Congress to discourage fossil fuel, especially natural gas, from development in the U.S., oil as well. And you make the point in your column that the 2 or 3 million barrels per day that could be produced have been discouraged by the Biden administration is exactly what we need for our allies in the war in Europe. In other words, the president's policies have gone in the wrong direction, while at the same time the president is sending weapons to Ukraine and he could be sending oil to Europe.
precisely. And by this ban on Russian oil, he has in fact increased and shrinkage in American oil production. He has increased the oil price, and the Russians have sold their oil to other countries, and out of the enhanced profit they are paying for war, that the United States is quite rightly contributing a great deal of money to combat them in. I mean, none of it makes any sense.
We come then to the question about Ottawa. Now, I do not follow the ins and outs of the liberals in Ottawa, but I do believe they're green, Conrad. You've led me to understand they're totally green.
Yes.
In a country
yes.
that is overwhelmingly blessed with energy resources. I mean, it is shocking how much you have with your small population. You're like the center of the solar system for energy.
Exactly. I mean, and like Saudi Arabia, which does not have a large or skilled population, and the country is a treasure house of resources, all forms of energy, everything you want except tropical fruit. We even have a few bananas, everything. And we are resentful of our own resources and are making war on the oil and gas business and to some extent on other extractive industries because of supposed environmental damage that they may do, you know, mining copper or nickel or that sort of thing. I mean, it is insane. The whole thing is insane.
I'm speaking to Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, Lord Black of the House of Lords. He is in Canada, the blessed state of Canada with its energy resources, writing at the National Post most recently of the three sick men of the 21st century, London, Washington, and Ottawa. And when we come back, what is to be done? I'm John Batchelor.